Just like to remind all those of you who believe that history didn't begin when you woke up this morning, that today, the 18th of March, is the 155th anniversary of the beginning of the Paris Commune, one of the most extraordinary revolutionary events in world history. So get your little machines going, your search engines and your books, and spare a thought for the 50,000 Parisians who were killed by their own government. And next time you go to Paris and you see those wide, beautiful streets, it occurred because after the Paris Commune, the city was so destroyed, a little bit like Gaza, that they rebuilt it in a manner that they could bring cannons down the streets to put down any other uprising. So that's an interesting little aside. So today is the 155th anniversary of the beginning of the Paris Commune, the 18th of March. Now, next week, which will be the 25th, we are having a dinner down at Frankston. So come along and join us at La Porquetta's at Nepean Highway. You don't have to ring. You just need to turn up and pay for your own food and drinks. So come along next if you're in that part of the city. Now, don't forget that the Radiothon, yes, it is coming up on the 10th and 17th of July. No, it's my apologies. Yeah, no, my apologies. 10th and 17th of June. The Anarchist World this week will be doing Radiothon, and we're hoping to raise $20,000. Just in case you think, why should I bother? Look at the world around you. Look at the type of analysis, the type of the dreary people that actually tell the same dreary lies every day. And maybe that's a reason to donate to the 3CR Radiothon. And if you pay income tax, and that's the key, income, not GST. We all pay GST. Remember, you can get a legal, legitimate tax deduction for donating to the 3CR Radiothon. But we'll tell you more about that. I'm mentioning it now so you can start collecting your 5-cent pieces. I can't say pennies anymore. And don't forget, 50th anniversary celebrations at 3CR, giving you all a personal invitation. All the listeners of the Anarchist World this week, doesn't matter where you live, even the USA, we even invite you. So it'll be on Saturday, the 4th of July, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Collingwood Town Hall, which is in Punt Road, Collingwood. Plenty of public transport, so put that in your diary. Meet the people at 3CR who keep the station functioning 365 days a year, 366 in a leap year. The sacred cows are all ready for the big party on the 4th of July. They've just come in. We're about to head off to the community radio network.
Evil minds that plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning. As the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind. Poisoning their brainwashed minds.
Welcome to the Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia on the National Community Radio Satellite. Listen to the Anarchist World this week, Australia's sacred cow slaughterhouse. Listen to analysis of local, national, international events. Listen to analysis you'll never hear anywhere else.
Welcome to the Anarchist World this week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. This program is coming to you from the studios of 3CR in Melbourne. My name's Joseph Toscano, and I'm hosting today's program. If you're wondering what anarchy is all about, it's not what's happening in Venezuela, or Cuba, or Iran, or Gaza, or the West Bank, or Oman, and the list goes on and on. Anarchos is a simple concept. It means without rulers. Not without rules, but without rulers. What gives rulers the ability to determine the lives of billions of people and kill people whenever they feel they need to, or, you know, feel like it. Inequalities in power and wealth. So the anarchist struggle is the struggle to devolve power. So the Washington buffoon, the Chinese dictator, the Iranian autocrats can't do what they like. It's about sharing power, possibly through direct democratic means, and holding wealth in common to look after the public interests, the common good. Simple concepts. Just remind people, today, the 18th of March 2026, is the 155th anniversary of the beginning of the Paris Commune, a workers' revolt which resulted in the deaths of over 50,000 Parisians at the hands of both the French and German government. If you're looking for examples of anarchy in action, have a look at the Paris Commune. 155th anniversary today. All right, let's move on. Now, on Sunday, I was, I'm the convener for the West Park and Rent Collective, and we had one of our regular gatherings, which you have every 4 months. Now, when I use the words drones, missiles, war jets or military jets, what do you think of? Well, you think of the West Bank. You think of Iran. You think of Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and the list goes on and on. But let's get back to our little part of the world. When I think of drones, missiles and military jets, I think of West Papua. Over the last 60 years, the West Papuan independence movement has been involved in a life and death struggle with the Indonesian government. And just in October last year, the head of the military resistance in the highlands in West Papua, who've been able to keep back the Indonesian authorities for over 60 years, was killed in a drone strike in a village in the highlands. And it's not unusual for them to use missiles and military jets to displace people who are basically living a subsistence agricultural lifestyle in order to take over their lands, deforest, create huge palm plantations, steal the resources, steal their resources both on the land and the sea. So if you think drones, missiles and military jets are just part and parcel of life in the Middle East, think again. West Papuans have now been involved in that struggle for over 60 years. And they continue to resist militarily, despite the avalanche, that's right, of military hardware that is used against them. Currently in West Papua, there is one fully armed Indonesian troop for every one, for every West Papuan male, adult male. Can you imagine that? Living in a country where there is one occupation force to every adult male in that country. So, I'd just like you to think about where we live, what's happening 70 kilometres from the Australian coastline. And maybe if you're interested, you could join the West Papuan Rent Collective. It's very easy. If you leave a message on 0439 395 489, I'll give you the details on how you can donate $1 a day to the West Papuan Rent Collective, because atrocities do not just occur in the Middle East. They're occurring within 70 kilometres of the Australian coastline. Courtesy of the Australian government, which refuses point blank to point out the atrocities that are occurring, because in many cases we have trained the elite military forces that Indonesia uses in the highlands in New Guinea to try to suppress the independence movement, and we provide them with the most sophisticated arms and intelligence. Let's move on. Divided nation. Well, the rise of divided nation. Interesting to see what happens in the South Australian state elections on the weekend, because a divided nation, it is said, is running neck and neck with the Liberal Party. And it looks like if the Liberal Party wants to get a few reps in the House, in the state parliament in South Australia, they're going to need ALP preferences, but that's a different story. Now, so what does the rise of divided nation mean? I think it means a number of things. One, it's the failure of parliamentary democracy to resolve the day-to-day issues which people face. And that failure, as you know, is directly linked to the fact the parliamentary agenda is set by that small section of society that owns the means of production, distribution, exchange and communication. I mean, theoretically, democracy or parliamentary, let's not talk about the word democracy, but parliamentary democracy is about looking after the needs of the people. Now, obviously, if our parliamentary system has been usurped by a minuscule minority, people will be looking for alternatives, irrespective of how ugly many of those alternatives policies are. And that's why I use the word divided nation, because obviously many of their policies are about dividing the Australian community, whether it's policies regarding refugees, immigrants, people of a different religious faith, which is in Christianity, different racial origins, if it isn't. But the reality is they have now become acceptable. And they're acceptable because they're considered to be genuine. That's right. A genuine alternative to the double-headed, smooth-tongued parliamentarians who speak gobbledygook to the majority of people in this country. And that's the reality. That's the reality you face. Another failure is the failure of what's described as progressive politics in this country. And we have failed miserably in terms of highlighting the main issues which affect people. And they are issues which are based about power and wealth. It's all very well to spend eons of time on identity politics, but ultimately, the type of society we have, irrespective of your racial origins, the language you speak, the religion, your gender, your sexual orientation, depends on access to power and wealth. And for far too long, the so-called progressive movement in this country has been more interested in looking at piecemeal reform than actually tackling the hard question. Thirdly, the hard left has also failed. We could be part of the hard left. We failed miserably to be able to attract people whose oppression is not related to somebody else's religious belief or sexual orientation, but whose oppression is directly related to growing inequalities in power and wealth. And that's why when I open up this program year after year, this is the 49th year, I define anarchism in terms of power and wealth. in terms of creating a society without rulers. If anybody wants to see the reality of what happens when you have paramount leaders, look at China, the United States of America, where the buffoon jumps up and down, religious autocracy in Iran, and you can understand that the struggle we're involved in is a huge struggle. See, and the people in Paris in 155 years ago paid the ultimate price. Almost 10% of the revolutionaries involved in that rebellion, over 50,000, were slaughtered, most after the commune had been devastated, as we see in Gaza today. So the reality is, who's the enemy? Who's our friend in the struggle to devolve power and hold wealth in common and use it for the common good? And the fact is that for far too long we have ignored the reality. The central issues we should be looking at are the growing inequality in power and wealth. And that's why we see more and more people, more and more Australians, drift towards one nation, or divided nation, I should say. I had a bit of a slip there. Divided nation, because they see it as a authentic alternative. People who are speaking the truth. People who are looking. And the fact is, divided nation is a little bit like the buffoon in Washington and his, you know, his hanger-oners. Same political ideology. They're not interested in policy, in sharing wealth, in devolving power. They're basically interested in dividing the nation on the basis of the most, you know, simple analysis. So it's up to each and every one of us, as our neighbours and our friends cast a ballot for divided nation, for us to fight back. If it means losing some friends, it means losing some friends. Are they really your friends? Because if you sit there and you listen to the dribble and don't fight back, you'll find the dribblers will be the ones who will, you know, dominate the political field. You listen to the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. Now, this is why people get so angry with the Albanese government. Now, last night I was at a Lebanese restaurant. It's not a Lebanese restaurant in Australia. There are 250,000, over a quarter of a million of people of Lebanese extraction in this country. Most of them came here about, I think it was about 25, 30 years ago, as refugees from the 13-year civil war with racked Lebanon, okay? Now, currently, the Israeli war criminals, that's all you can call them, they're war criminals, all right? The Israeli war criminals, the genocide makers in Gaza, the people who shoot children, you know, are devastating Lebanon in their struggle against Hezbollah, right? Devastating. Over a quarter of the population. Remember, Lebanon is a tiny little country, smaller than Tasmania. It's only got 5 million people. Over a quarter of the population have been displaced. Large areas of central Beirut have been destroyed. Although, at this stage, essential infrastructure has been, to some degree, left alone. So you would think that the divided nation, the National Party, the Australian ALP, the government of the day, and the Liberal Party would have something to say about the devastation which the Israeli war criminals are carrying out in Lebanon as I speak. you would think they'd have something to say. They have a lot to say about the theocrats and the autocrats in Iran, but they have nothing to say about the atrocities which occur in Lebanon as I speak. Over 1,000 civilians killed, the whole south of Lebanon being evacuated, one in five Lebanese are now living in tents as a result of this war, continued strikes, continued civilian casualties. Not one word, not one word from Divided Nation, the Liberal Party, the National Party, and the Australian Labor Party, obviously the Greens, have nailed their colours and have told us that this is unacceptable. But the fact is that it is totally unacceptable. We have a media which carries on about the atrocities which are occurring, conducted by the Iranian government, which is fair enough. But we have a media which is not willing to open its mouth regarding the atrocities which are occurring, which are being carried out currently by the Israeli government in Lebanon, a tiny little country with less than 5 million people and 250,000 Lebanese, you know, of people of Lebanese extraction live in Australia. That's almost 5% of the whole total population of Lebanon. So all I can say is, think about it. We talk about a free press. We talk about analysis that's, you know, free of bias. I mean, this highlights how the legacy media, and to a significant degree the asocial media, I don't call it social, it's asocial media, are part and parcel of the problem as far as the atrocities which have been carried out by the Israeli government. Remember Gaza? Things haven't changed in Gaza. There are 2 million people living a hand-to-mouth existence, living in, you know, tents, 85% of the Gaza destroyed. It took them 2 years to liberate, in inverted commas, Gaza. They may find they're going to have a more difficult phase in southern Lebanon. But the reality is, there is no military solution to the issues which have been created to a significant degree by the Israeli state in the Middle East. There are no military solutions, none whatsoever. But more importantly, I would like to see people in the Australian government and the Australian opposition, apart from the Greens, the Australian Greens, get up and say a word or two regarding what's happening in Lebanon, instead of saying Hezbollah, Hezbollah, Hezbollah. The fact is, the current crisis was not instigated by Hezbollah. We'll talk about that in a minute. You listen to The Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia by the Community Radio Network. This program is streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is called podcast. What a silly little boy the Washington buffoon has turned out to be. Now, I refuse to use his name on this program. I refuse to use the word president. You know, latest. I love the latest. Unfortunately, thousands of people are dying because of the buffoon's action. And those people who think that America is a democracy, think again. When one man, the buffoon in Washington, can declare war in Iran, can kidnap the president of Venezuela, and can try to subjugate the people of Cuba by denying them basic essentials. Unbelievable, isn't it? One human being. And they call that democracy. Well, we're waiting for the Washington buffoon to make a decision. He's looking for a ramp. Now, the latest is hilarious. And maybe we should see some body bags of American soldiers before the American people understand what's going on. Now, the Washington buffoon called on the world, including little old Australia, to send ships to help the USA and Israel to allow oil through the Straits of Hormuz, because around the world there are significant impacts because of the Straits closure. Now, I didn't see Iran start this war. Now, obviously, as I said before, the buffoon has been outfoxed by the Israeli war criminals. He's been outfoxed because there's nothing in this for the buffoon. There's nothing in this for the United States of America. This war, which the buffoon has been, you know, pushed into for a little bit of flattery, is about stabilising the situation for Israel and creating a greater Israel in the Middle East, an Israel which has no competition, which will have just subjugated states around it, which will do its bidding. This is what this war is about. It's not about putting America first, but the buffoon doesn't understand that. A little bit of flattery goes a long way. So here we've got it. This is the latest. This is what I love. I love about the buffoon. He couldn't write about it. His latest mantra, you know, Australia didn't send a warship. NATO said it's a defence organisation. Nobody seems to be willing to sacrifice their military assets and military personnel to help the buffoon. And now he says we can do it alone. Fair enough. But this is it. This is the philosophy. I break it, you fix it and pay for it. That's the philosophy. I break it, you fix it and pay for it. Unbelievable. Now, this morning I wet my pants when I heard the buffoon in Washington criticise Australia. Now, we've been bending over backwards to satisfy this bully's, you know, every whim. Look at the government and opposition. Although I have noticed that even the opposition is beginning to see reality. The buffoon is not interested. The Washington, they're not interested in us. It's about America first, although they've been outfoxed by the Israeli war criminals, but that's a different story. So I wet my pants. They may tear up the AUKUS agreement. Whoopee-doo, $800 billion freed to look after Australia's interests. Wouldn't that be nice? And Mr. Hastie, I think it's Hastie, you know, the de facto leader of the Liberal Party, who will obviously be leading the Liberal Party when he turfs out Angus Taylor in about 12 months, stated the rules have changed. He's a soldier. He knows. He was a soldier. He knows. He says the rules have changed. You cannot rely on the buffoon. You cannot rely on this little boy throwing tantrums every time he doesn't get his own way. You can't rely on him. Maybe we should look around us and maybe we should be doing some discussion with the people around us. Japan, South Korea, Singapore, even Indonesia, believe it or not. Malaysia, Thailand, Cambodia. And the list goes on and on. So, it's not unbelievable. Now, a little bit of light entertainment. This is the Anarchist World This Week, broadcast across Australia, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. My name's Joseph Toscano. I'm hosting today's program. Now, I understand, not that I'm that enamoured with royalty, I understand the King and Queen of the Top Dogs, King and Queen of Denmark, have arrived in Australia for a state visit. Now, let's not forget that Queenie, the Queen of Denmark, is a Tasmanian, and that the King met her, I think, in a bar in Sydney. And it was love at first sight. And 25 years later, that's when he was a prince. They became king and queen, you know. Story, you know, a little bit like a fairy tale, isn't it? But it's real. So they've turned up in Australia. Well, obviously, it's not just to visit the kinfolk, but every state visit has an underlying reason for that visit. You know, we saw poor old Prince William turfed out to Saudi Arabia a few months ago to try to get some, you know, financial contracts signed between that ailing land of the Brits and Saudi Arabia. And now they've trotted out the King and Queen, one of our own, of Denmark, to Australia to do a little bit of a tour, you know? And why do you think it is? Well, just cast your mind back a few weeks. I know that as an Australian, you and me believe that history begins when we wake up in the morning, but unfortunately, that's fake news, in inverted commas. Now, what have the Danes been worried about over the last year or two? Well, the Washington buffoon wants to take over Greenland. You know, it's necessary for the defence of the United States of America. Maybe it will be necessary after they waste all their bombs working for Israel in the Middle East. So he wants to take over Greenland. Now, Queenie is an Australian by birth. So don't you think the underlying reason for this state tour by the Danish top dogs, royalty, is about trying to get some support from the Australian government to prevent the Washington buffoon using his military forces, as we see in Iran, to take over a Greenland, to incorporate into the land of the brave and the brave and the free, and I word stupid. Now, it was fascinating, wasn't it? Here we have the president and vice president. We haven't seen the vice president for a while, all right, of the United States of America. Well, the Washington buffoon and the vice president in the same room. And the vice president talks about dumb presidents. And I thought he was talking about the Washington buffoon, but he wasn't. Now, this reminds me of a terrible, terrible movie I watched about 10 minutes of years ago called Dumb and Dumber. Here we have Dumb and Dumber in charge of the greatest military machine in the history of the human race. Yep. Dumb and Dumber. But the thing is that Dumber is smarter than dumb. Because I think Dumber knows. Now, those of you who are wondering what's going to happen in Iran, well, this is what's going to happen. First of all, when the Washington buffoon wanted everybody to come in and help him in his fight, which he started without asking us, all right? He said, I'm going to punch these people out of the, you know, I'm going to use the same terminology he uses. We're going to beat them. They've destroyed them 100%. All right? That's the Washington buffoon. And then after a while, they fight back and he says, oh, it's causing problems around the world. Come and help me. And the world says, sorry, your war. You started it, you finish it. Now, the Washington buffoon is quite happy for the people in Gaza to be slaughtered. He's happy for the people in the West Bank to be slaughtered. He's happy for the people in Lebanon to be slaughtered. He's even happy for people in Israel to be slaughtered. And he's happy to see people in the feudal monarchies that the United States of America keeps afloat in the Middle East, slaughtered, and the people of Iran slaughtered. But when it comes to American boys and girls, it's a different story, isn't it? Well, unfortunately, I can tell you now that the buffoon has made a decision. Currently, as I speak, there's another warship, another battleship, or aircraft carrier, whatever they call them, streaming towards the Middle East. And it's got 5,000 Marines on it. Now, these brave Marines are going to jump off the ship after the coast of Iran has been obliterated, take over that little corner of Iran and allow ships to go through the Straits of Hormuz. Even an idiot like me can work that out. So, maybe you should start investing in body bags. I mean, the stock market's just, you know, sitting on its laurels at the minute, wondering when it's all going to end. But maybe you should start investing in body bags. Because, see, the Washington buffoon is not used to people standing up to him. And what is happening now, both enemies and allies are beginning to stand up to him because they know this is the only way forward. When you've got Andrew Hastie, the opposition leader, the pseudo-opposition leader who's waiting to knife Angus Taylor as we come towards an election, talking about we can't rely on our allies, then you know there is a problem. All right, let's move on. I mean, this could be very, very depressing. All right. Ah, let's not forget. I don't know if you listened to the Washington buffoon being interviewed about Cuba. I can do what I like with Cuba. See, it's as if nothing exists outside his orbit. And the trouble is, unless the American people and the people in the Republican Party begin, and the people in the Supreme Court, as we just saw, begin to stand up to the Washington buffoon, what we are seeing is not just the intellectual, ethical and moral collapse of the United States of America, but what we are seeing is the collapse of what likes to think of itself as the bastion of freedom. Whether that's good or bad, that's something for you to think about. I know what it is, but that's up to you. So, let's move on. Let's move on to something more local, because I think it's important that we not get carried away with what's happening outside our borders. Although it has an impact. Now, I was thinking, people have been affected by this war. Let's forget about the humanitarian issues, about the children that have been slaughtered. Let's forget about the damage that's been done because Israel is not willing to allow a Palestinian state to be created. Let's forget about all that. Let's forget about the geopolitics. Let's think about you and me, us. Because we're Australians and we like to think about us, put ourselves first all the time. So, there's a little war in the Middle East. It's not a combat mission, it's a war. And it's not collateral damage, it's murder. And we're having a few issues here. Now, I do a lot of driving. I've noticed petrol is... I used to be able to get petrol for about $1.55, 56 a litre. And it jumped up overnight to $2.29.9. That's about a 30% to 5% increase overnight. Now, the beauty about the increase in petrol prices is it didn't occur 7 days after the so-called combat mission in Iran began. It occurred almost immediately. And we've got the government asking the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission to look at the situation. They've had a little meeting with the petroleum industry. Because obviously in war, there's always winners and losers, but not winners and losers in terms of who wins the war and who loses the war, but winners and losers in terms of who makes money out of it. So the petroleum industry is making money at your behest. But more importantly, the gas industry, that's right, we're the second biggest gas exporter in the world, although we don't have enough gas for the East Coast because we forward sell too much, but that's a different story. So the gas industry is making billions of dollars of profits as it prices escalate. And we've got people like the Greens and the Independent Centre for the ACT, Pollock, talking about super profits tax. No super profits tax. How dare anybody in this country talk about taxing organisations, corporations that mine this country's minerals and pay peppercorn royalties and tax? How dare they? They should wash out their mouth with soap and water. I can see poor old Gina and Twiggy, they must be distraught. Because you see, we have a problem. We have a huge problem in this country. And I keep talking about it. When you've got a private charity doing television advertisements and net advertisements, telling people that we need to donate money to them so we can send Aussie kids to public schools because their parents don't have enough money to pay for them. Extraordinary. And when we see the homeless rates in this country and the destruction of the public housing sector, we've got a problem. And when we see the people who've gone through university, who've got some bodgy degree, which is not going to get them anywhere, will be paying off that so-called, gateway to nirvana through a hex debt for the next 10 to 20 years, we've got a problem. And when we see that the housing market has been turned into an investment bubble for investors because of the write-offs from capital gain, write-offs from, they get from negative gearing and capital gains tax, you begin to see we have a major issue in this country. When we see private charities raising money or collecting food to distribute to hungry Australians, you know we've got a problem in this country. I could go on and on. And I will. Because we have a huge problem in this country. We have 27.2 million people living on a continent. Can you believe that? A resource-rich continent. One-third of the population relies on social security benefits to survive. That's one-third of the population. We have a taxation system which benefits the rich and powerful. And we find ourselves in a situation that any type of minuscule reform which is proposed, as we saw through the superannuation tax for people with over 3 million in their superannuation account, we saw all hell break loose regarding the future of 6,000 to 10,000 Australians. All hell break loose. When anybody talks about imposing a super profits tax on these mining corporations, especially now during the current United States of America combat mission in the Middle East, the press goes into meltdown. Unbelievable. How can 27.5 million people living on a continent, have one third of its population living on social security benefits which barely meet their everyday living costs. How can 27.5 million people living on a resource-rich continent have a multitude of charities, over 30,000, raising money to provide basic necessities like food, shelter, access to public education to its citizens and permanent residents? I know there's a budget coming up in May, but the problem is the Treasurer, who I feel sorry for, the Treasurer, yeah, I know, I shouldn't, but I do, the Treasurer has got a political party behind him that does not have the courage to break through and increase that tax takes. Now, I talk about nationalising without compensation all those corporations that are involved in exploitation of this country's mineral resources, or that's considered to be unconstitutional, or increasing taxation, say, to 80% of profits made. Why not? And use that, those resources, those profits, to look after the interests of people in this country. That's why, as I said at the beginning of the program, so many people are beginning to be attracted to Divided Nation. Not because of their policies, because Gina Rinehart is one of their greatest beneficiaries. Not because of their, you know, divisive policies, but because somehow they think, as the American people thought, if we elect a billionaire, he's got no moral, ethical basis, he wants to put American first, everything will be hunky-dory. It's the same process, the same thinking. And when parliamentary democracy fails to look after its citizens, its most vulnerable citizens, we find ourselves in this situation. Now, I've said for years that we need different political forces in this country, not just parliamentary, but also extra-parliamentary. And that's why in 2015 we formed Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. Now, I must say, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest has been a spectacular failure. And I'll tell you why. When we started off, we thought things people would understand. But most people don't even know what the public sphere is in this country. We've had so much privatisation of public assets, and those public assets that are left, like public health and public education, in many people's eyes are second rate, because there is no resources to be put into those public facilities because of the lack of the ability of Parliament to actually pass legislation to ensure there are enough resources to look after the interests of every person in this country. Now, you're going to suffer, I'm sorry, because of the combat mission. You like that in Iran? I like to use that word. I like to use words like collateral damage, elimination, combat mission, because they just cover every atrocity you can think of. But that's a different story, and there are many more of those words. So, are you paying more for fuel? You're going to be paying more for food? You're going to be paying more for your rent? We've had an interest rate rise, which I haven't even mentioned, of 0.25%. So you're going to be paying more for your mortgage. And business is going to be paying more for its loans from the financial sector. So why don't you add up what this is going to cost you for the next 12 months? And then send a bill via the Prime Minister's office to the Washington buffoon to make up the difference. Because it's all very well to blame the government for the increase in fuel prices or inflation or this or that. But the fact is, if it wasn't for the buffoon in Washington and his hanger-oners, we wouldn't be in this situation. We'd still be in a situation where we're not looking after the interests of the, you know, significant proportion of the Australian population, but we wouldn't be in a situation that we find ourselves in today. It's a little exercise. Work out your bill. Maybe it's $5,000, maybe it's $7,000, maybe it's $15,000. Send it to the PM's office. Ask the PM to pass it on to the ambassador, the new ambassador, I think his name's Moriarty, I could be wrong, I usually am, to the new ambassador in the US of A, the Australian ambassador, and then pass it on to the Treasury in the United States of America. Because, you know, if you're going to follow a buffoon, well, that's what happens. Now, a lot of people like to attack one nation because of its leader, right? Bad mistake. A lot of people like to attack one nation because of its divisive policies. Fair enough. But very few are willing to attack it on its lack of any economic policies which will improve the lives of a significant proportion of people in this country. And that's the issue. The central issue is governments of a sovereign nation state theoretically look after the interests of their citizens. Security, and currently as far as security is concerned, we failed miserably, hanging our shingle outside the United States of America's office, disgustingly short-sighted, when the apparent new leader of the Liberal Party claims it's short-sighted. You know it's short-sighted because those people have been marching to the war drums for years. And then when you see the statistics involving the gap between the haves and the have-nots in this country, you begin to see the reality before you. And when you see an illegal policy like robo-debt ruin the lives of thousands of people, and it went on for years despite people knowing it was illegal and nobody being charged, you begin to understand the type of country we now have become. We acquiesce, we bow, we doff our cap, we kowtow. But the reality is, nothing changes without struggle. Obviously, you can drown in a sea, you know, of asocial media. You can watch every YouTube channel you like, and I direct you to watch Public Interest Before Corporate Interest, where I give a presentation every week for the last 5 to 6 years. But the fact is, the reality is, unless there are feet on the ground, as we see in the Middle East, there is no change. You can do as much talking as you like, but unless you become involved in that struggle to make significant changes in society, nothing ever changes. Simple. I mean, I could waffle on for the next 49 years, which would make me, what, 115 or something, 120. But the fact is, what I say is basically irrelevant unless you can do something about it. As I said before, you can join Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. You can join other political groups. You can join political parties. You can join groups that are involved in cultural and social change. The reality is, we are becoming a nation of watchers. We watch what goes around us. We don't believe we have the capacity to make significant changes. The difference between us and the people in the Paris Commune 155 years ago, to which today we mark the 155th anniversary of the beginning of the Paris Commune, is they believe they had the capacity to make the changes which were relevant. Although they lost that particular battle, they won the war in terms of the way people's lives in France were improved because of that struggle. So ultimately, I know it's terrible, it's up to you. You need to do one of two things. Well, it's up to you, obviously. I suggest you tear up your membership to the Kaurna tribe, Australia's biggest tribe. I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do that, and I'm gonna do this, and ultimately you die, you've done nothing. Or I suggest you tear up your membership card to the Somebody Should Do Something About That tribe. Another growing tribe in this huge continent. Somebody should do something about that. It is unacceptable. It's immoral. It's unethical. Somebody should do something about that. And that somebody should be you. Recently, I saw a man with a sign outside an institution. Just one man with a sign. If there are 10,000, 100,000 people, and many of you are retired, you can't use the thing that you're at work, the excuse, with a sign saying, nationalise this country's raw materials. Change the tax base. Ensure that no children will live in poverty in this country. Ensure that Australians won't go hungry. Ensure they have enough accommodation. Popping up here and there may seem like nothing. But in an era when people are looking for answers, when parliamentary democracy has failed them, when they're flocking to divided nation looking for solutions, you need to tear up those membership cards to the Kaurna tribe and to the Somebody Should Do Something About That tribe. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station, courtesy of the Community Radio Network. My name's Joseph Toscano. The program is podcast. You can access the podcast by going to 3cr.org.au. You can leave messages on 0439 395 489, 0439 395 489. You can email me at info@pibci.net. You can join public interest before corporate interest by going to the same webpage. You can go to the YouTube channel, Public Interest Before Corporate Interest. Thank you once again for listening to The Anarchist World this week on your local community radio station, courtesy of those wonderful, wonderful people at the Community Radio Network.
Help us stay radical. Become a regular donor to 3CR. A regular donor is someone who loves 3CR so much that they set up an automatic donation to 3CR on the same day every month. 3CR is determined to stay independent. This means we don't rely on corporate sponsorship or government funding. We serve our community, not corporate interests. But this also means we do rely on people like you to keep the station running. From paying the bills to maintaining our studios to training the next generation of community broadcasters, 3CR relies on community donations to survive. By becoming a regular donor, you can help us stay resilient and radical. Will you help 3CR by becoming a regular donor today? Together, we can keep independent voices on air. Go to 3cr.org.au.
You're listening to 3CR, an apartheid-free zone. 3CR's Committee of Management has passed a declaration formalising our commitment to a free Palestine. As an apartheid-free zone, we're committed to boycotting Israel's regime of oppression. We stand firmly against apartheid in Palestine and encourage other organisations to join us in this struggle. Visit our website to read the full declaration and learn more about our commitment to justice and liberation for Palestine and the Apartheid Free Zone movement.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.